Adore him this morning. Praise the Lord. He is our King of Kings. He is our Lord of Lords. If you would, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 3. If you would stand while I read the scripture this morning. Acts chapter 3, beginning with verse 1 and reading down through verse 8. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping, stood up and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning on the subject, expecting the unexpected. Father, we come to you right now and we ask your anointing upon the word and upon me this morning and upon the ears of the congregation. Lord, don't let me say anything or mention anything that is not in perfect alignment with your word. Strike it from my mind and from my memory. Lord, let every word that's spoken this morning be words from your throne room. And God, let it stick to the hearts and to the minds of everyone here, that they might use this in the coming weeks and that they might put it into practice. We'll give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' precious name. You may be seated. How many of you came this morning expecting something? Some people might have come expecting to hear me say, whoa, it's way too bad and way too cold. Everybody, let's just go home. Nah, not going to happen. It was bad, but it wasn't that bad. If I would have said, if I'd have made an announcement, put it on WLOS 13 News and said, we're going to have service at Biltmore and everybody that comes is going to get a $100 bill, I can almost guarantee we'd have a church full. People we didn't even think we knew. Expectation. When we come expecting God to move, He usually does. If you come and you don't expect God to move, you say, Brother Joel, is that something that people do? Absolutely. Some people come to church with the attitude of, oh, well, here we go again, another humdrum service, hear the same thing, sing the same songs, leave the same way. And that's about the way it works. But if you come expecting something from God's hand, God is always ready to fulfill your desires and your needs. However, expectations usually follow desperation. When a person becomes desperate enough, they begin to expect that you have to. That's all you've got left is your expectations. Now, there are those that throw up their hands, but at some level, they're going to expect some help from somewhere. And I want to use three examples out of the scripture this morning of people who expected, but it didn't turn out what they expected. In the scriptures that I read this morning, we read about a lame man that was born with a problem that did not allow him to walk. He was lame from his birth. And every day they would carry him, someone would carry him into the area of the temple and would place him at the doorway or the gateway into the temple. And when they would do this, he would just sit there all day long begging for alms or money. And as people would enter the temple, he was positioned in a way that they had to do something. They either had to step on him or walk around him. And at some point, somebody would sometimes give him money. But this wasn't always the case, that he would receive money. Sometimes people would just come through, sidestep him, just to get around him, and move on into the temple. Other people might have come along and said, man, I wish you would just get out of my way. You're in my way here. Some of them might have gotten into the temple and gone straight to the pastor and said, listen, we got to do something about that man out there on the front porch. He is getting in people's way. He is an obstruction. And you know, it just don't look good. It just doesn't look good to have somebody laying there on the front porch of the church begging for money. We need to do something about that. This man had no doubt been abused throughout his entire life. He had no doubt been extorted, because I'm going to tell you something. Somebody brought him there every day. And those services ain't free. Whenever somebody brings him there, unless they're family members and very close family members, and even family members can sometimes extort you. They can distort you too. But even family members will do it. So this man, you know, every bit of money that he was taking in, he was giving a portion and probably a major portion to those that were helping him. And let's look at it realistically. He couldn't walk, so someone had to carry his food to him. Someone had to carry him to the bathroom. Someone had to carry him in every situation that he faced. Someone was tied to him pretty much all the time. So he was paying dearly for the services that he was getting. But every day he would lay in front of the temple begging for money, expecting something. Every time someone walked by, he expected something. Sometimes he got it, sometimes he didn't. What was he expecting? He was expecting to feel a coin dropped in his hand. That's what he was expecting. On this particular day, Peter and John came walking up. And the man didn't even look at him. He obviously saw their feet moving. He obviously saw someone headed towards him, but he wasn't really looking at him. Out of habit, he just reached up and said, "Alms for the poor, alms for the poor." When he did this, Peter and John stopped. Well, that was sort of a signal to the man, something's going to happen. They stopped. Now, they're either going to kick me, they're going to tell me to move out of the way, or they're going to give me some money. So he expected something of them. Peter said, the Bible said he fastened his eyes on him. And I'm going to stop right here and preach a little bit about the church. A lot of times, if we're not careful, we will become guilty of looking through people's needs instead of looking for people's needs. We need to turn that around. We need to be looking for people's needs. We'll get back to that in a minute. At this point, Peter fastened his eyes on him and said, "Look at us." When the man raised his eyes to meet Peter's eyes, Peter was looking him dead in the face, and he was looking Peter dead in the face. And Peter said, "Silver and gold, we don't have any." He could have stopped right there and said, "Sorry, you're in your state, but we're going to go on." But he didn't. You see, Peter and John had just come from a Holy Ghost revival. They had just come from Pentecost. When he looked into their eyes and he saw something, Peter said, "Silver and gold, we don't have it, but we do have something for you that's worth a lot more to you than the silver and the gold. We've got something that you need far more than you do the silver and gold. Such as we have, give I to thee." He reached down his hand. The Bible was very specific. He reached down his right hand and he lifted him up. And as he was lifting him up, he said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And on his way up, the Bible said he felt something different than he ever felt before. He was used to feeling the touch of the coins as they dropped into his hand. On this day, he felt strength and power coming into his legs. He had never felt it before, folks, never. He was born lame, but this time it was different. He felt power. He felt the power of the Holy Spirit as it healed his legs, and he was raised to his feet. The Bible said whenever he came up, he didn't come up casually. Oh, well, yeah, I'm here. The Bible said he came up leaping and shouting and praising God. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we need to feel that power strong enough to where we don't just stand up, but we leap up in praise. This day, he got something. He was expecting it, but he didn't expect what he got. He expected to have to shell over 50 or 75% of whatever he got. But this was something that they couldn't take away from him. They couldn't take his money because he didn't get money. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Expecting the unexpected. The Bible said that he went into the temple with Peter and John doing the same thing. And he leaping, stood up and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Hallelujah. I forgot to tell you what that one was. It was I didn't know what to expect. The man didn't have a clue what to expect from Peter and John. Then there was the woman at the well, woman with the blood issue. In Mark chapter 5, verse 24 through 34, we read a story about a woman who was afflicted with an issue of blood. And this was actually a story within a story. Because when Jesus was going through this city, one of the rulers of the temple approached him in a desperate situation and asked him if he could come to his house because his daughter had fallen ill. He was very desperate that the Lord come with him. As he started walking down the road, this is where the woman with the blood issue came in. As Jesus went with the man, the Bible said much people followed him and thronged him. And as he was walking, this woman that had the issue of blood eased her way into the crowd. She had had this problem for 12 long years. The Bible said she had been to every doctor she could find, and she became no better. She actually grew worse. She had spent everything she had. She was penniless at this point. She had a bleeding condition, and this was something that, according to Levitical law, She wasn't even supposed to be out where she could touch anyone. She was quite desperate. She purposed in her heart. She had heard so many times about what Jesus could do. Word travels. Let me tell you something. You get Jesus in the mix, it don't stay quiet. When you have a true face-to-face with the Lord, you might as well forget hiding it. It ain't going to happen. People going to know about it. I'm going to tell you something, church. We want church growth. And what that takes? And what it takes? If my people... Not if somebody else's people. If my people shall humble themselves. What is humility? Humility is recognizing who you are. Then it's recognizing who everybody else is. Understanding that you're all on the same plane, and then recognizing God as who He is. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Oh, prayer. If my people will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face. You know, praying and seeking God's face are two different things. When you truly are seeking God's face, you are seeking to be in the very presence of the Lord. It's one thing to pray, but to seek His face. My little grandson, 3 years old. When we go to see him, that boy is 110% boy. And he wears me out. We walk through the door and it's, "Poppy, let's play cars." Or, "Poppy, let's play dinosaurs." And when I say dinosaurs, this kid's got, I'm not talking two or three dinosaurs. If he's got one, he's got 10,000. I mean a toy box. That thing is that full, that wide. And he has got dinosaurs from this tall to this tall. He's just dinosaur crazy. And the older I get, the further away the ground gets. But I'll get down on the floor with him. And I'll tell him, "Poppy will stay down here and play for a little while, but I can't do it for long. About an hour later, I'm still down in the floor trying to get up." But then he wants to play something else. He wants to play hide and seek. And I love that. Because I love to go and hide somewhere. And I make it so easy. I try to make it so easy for him to find me because it thrills him so much to say he found Poppy. I went into their kitchen one time and I squirmed into their pantry. I don't know how I got into it, but I did. And I closed the door and I was holding the door and I kept it open about that far So I knew he could see me. Well, he made the round through the rooms and he came back through the kitchen and he still hadn't seen me. So the next time I opened it a little wider. And the next time I opened it a little wider. And finally, about the third time he comes through, he sees me. And oh, he's just so happy because he has found who he was seeking. God wants you to find him. He doesn't want to hide from you. He wants you to seek him, but he's making himself visible for you. He's making himself available to you. I'm going to tell you something, folks. God is gaga for you. He loves you so much this morning. He gave his only son to redeem you. His love is stronger than any love. Those of you who are married, I want you to do me a favor. If you're married and you're sitting beside your spouse, turn around and look at them right now, right in the dead in the face. Do you remember when you were dating? Think about it. Do you remember that? Do you remember how it felt just to get to see the one you loved? I'm going to tell you something. When I was dating, I just lived across town. But when I would go to her house, my heart would start pounding from the first 5 minutes when I left my house. And it got stronger, and it got stronger, and it got stronger until I got to her house. I thought my heart was going to explode. And still doing it. Every time I look at her face, I can't get enough of it. God wants to stare you in the face this morning. He wants to stare you in the eyes, and he wants you to seek him, and he wants you to find him. When this woman stepped out into the street, she thought, if I can just touch his garment. I don't need to touch him. If I can just touch his clothes. And I'll be so subtle about it that he'll never know. Nobody will ever know. I'm sneaking out into the crowd where I'm not supposed to be anyway, but I'm just going to touch his clothes. And if I can touch his clothes, I will be made whole. When she stepped out and she got into the crowd, she reached out and touched his, just the hem of his clothing. And then she drifted back into the crowd. And Jesus stopped. He stopped. And he said, "Who touched me?" His disciples looked at him like he was crazy. "Lord, we can hardly walk for the people that are bumping in and trying to get to you and trying to get to us, and we're just having to push our way through the crowd. And you said, 'Who touched me?'" Jesus said, No. "I'm not talking about that kind of touch. Somebody with a need touched me. Somebody literally and intentionally touched me. And when the woman saw that she was found out, she came forward and she fell down at his feet and said, "Lord, it was me. Lord, it was me." He didn't need any explanation. He just looked at her and said, "Thy faith." It was your faith that made you whole. What is faith? It's expectation. When you pray, I'm tired. I am so tired of the devil beating me up and telling me things ain't the way you think they are. You've prayed about it, but it ain't going to do you no good because God's not going to answer. I'm tired of hearing that. It's time for me and it's time for you to take authority through the Word of God. Take it to the devil and lay it out in front of him and say, "This is what the Bible says. My faith has made me whole. I expect it." You know something? When my kids ask me for something, if they had a need and they came and they told me, "Daddy, I got a need. I got something I really need really bad," I would break the bank trying to fulfill their need. It's time for us to pray and seek God's face, and then expect it to happen because God said it would. He said it would. Last of all, there was a man that had two sons. And one day, one of the sons decided he had had enough. "Dad, you've been controlling my life long enough. I think I can handle things on my own now. So, if you would, just give me my portion of my inheritance and I will go my own way and you can go yours." The Bible doesn't say if his dad was reluctant or not. It just said he divided out and gave him his portion. And the young man went his way. The Bible said that he went into a far country and began to live it up. He began to live it up on the money that dad gave him. He bought for everybody that wanted to be his friend. And you know something? When you got a pocket full of cash, you're going to have friends you didn't know you had. And they are going to be more than willing to spend your money. This rounds on him. That's the way it always works. And it wasn't long until he reached in his pocket to pay for something and pulled out nothing. "Oh, wait a minute. I'm out of cash here. What am I going to do?" It got pretty bad, so he joined himself with a citizen of that country. The Bible said that there came a famine in the land. Now, I've never seen a famine personally. I've seen it on the news, but I've never seen it personally. I don't know that any of us in here have actually seen a famine. I know that there were a lot of people that lived through the Depression, and I know that times were rough then. But we need to be careful because we've been a blessed nation. We've been a blessed nation. Up until now. But the closer we come, the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, we're going to see a lot more trouble. That's scriptural. Things are going to get worse and worse and worse. Perilous times shall come. When this young man found himself in the midst of a famine and broke, he had to do something, so he got a job. The only job he could get. Didn't have an education. Daddy had always paid for everything. So he took a job feeding pigs. Fed the pigs. And I don't know that the man didn't give him anything to eat. If he did, it was very meager. We know that he was hungry while he was working, because the Bible says that as he was feeding those pigs, he got hungry. And he almost began eating what the pigs were eating. The corn cobs. I'm going to tell you something. Ain't nothing worse than a nasty pig pen corn cob. And yes, I know from experience. My neighbors used to have hogs when I was a kid. And it was a little strange, I guess, but one of our pastimes, we would fight. And we would go and we would have corn cob wars. We'd get one on one side of that pig pen and one on the other side of that pig pen. We'd get the nastiest corn cobs we could find. And we would fling them things as hard as we could fling them across and try to hit the other one. You ain't lived until you've had a nasty, wet corn cob slap you in the side of the head. But that's what this man was getting ready to eat. The Bible said he came to himself. Finally, common sense kicked in. He came to himself and he said, "What am I doing? I'm here getting ready to eat this. And my father has servants that are eating good food. They have a nice warm place to sleep at night. They don't want for anything. And I'm getting ready to eat slop." I'll tell you something, folks. You don't want to eat the slop. You don't want to eat the slop. The Bible said that he devised a plan up here. He said, "You know what I can do? I will go back home. But I won't go back and ask him if I can come back, because I know I've just ruined it. But I'll ask him if I can be one of his servants, because I know they're eating good. I know how well he took care of his servants, so I'm just going to ask him if I can be one of his servants." He went home, and all along the way, he was practicing it over and over in his mind. What am I going to say to my dad? What am I going to say to him? What am I going to ask him? How am I going to approach him? I got to do this just right, or if I don't, he's liable to send me on my way. And the closer he got to home, I'm just imagining this, but I would imagine he was getting more and more nervous, because what am I going to say to my father? After I did what I did, how am I going to overcome this? And the devil whispered in the back of his mind, "You know what's going to happen. He's going to send you on your way. He's going to tell you you had your shot and now you blew it." But he kept going. He kept going. Until he finally got to the outskirts of the property. He got to the edge of the road leading up to the house. And just guess who was standing? standing on the porch looking down the road, as he did every day since the boy had left. Every day he would stand there looking down the road in hopes that his son would return. The Bible said that when he saw him from afar off, he thought, that looks like my son. Could it be my son? He's tattered. He looks terrible. He looks worn. He looks like he's lost a lot of weight. He looks like he's been beaten up, and he's got blood running down the side of his head. He looks terrible, but it looks like my son. The Bible said that he ran. He ran. He didn't walk. He didn't say, come on. He ran to his son. And he fell on his son's neck. He fell on his neck and embraced him. And his son started to ask him, Dad, can I just be a servant? But before he could get the words out of his mouth, his father told him, welcome home, my son. Welcome home, my son. He turned and he told his servants, go and get the robe. Go and get the son's robe. And the ring, the family crest, with the family crest on it, get the ring. I want to put that on his finger. Because my son that was dead is now alive. Hallelujah. Everybody stand. I want everybody to bow your heads, if you would, and pray, and please, no stirring around. If you have to go, I understand, but please slip out quietly if you have to. I don't know who this message is for this morning, but I know it's for somebody. I have no doubt in my mind. I had been going in a totally different direction all week, actually for several weeks. And at midnight last night, God began to give me this message. I got up this morning and I saw what was going on. I saw the temperature and the wind, and I thought, Lord, maybe I just need to call WLOS and tell them to put our name on the crawl that we're not going to have service this morning. Of course, the enemy whispers in your ear and says, that's a good idea. That's a good idea. Because nobody's going to be there anyway. This looks like a pretty good crowd to me for a day like this. But God spoke to me and told me that this message is for somebody here today. He's giving you an opportunity. He's giving you an opportunity. He wants to meet your expectations this morning. He wants to have communion with you. wants to supply your need this morning. I wonder if there's anyone here this morning. I want every eye closed, every head bowed, please. Is there anyone here this morning that will just slip up your hand and say, please pray for me, because this message is for me today? Is there someone that would slip up your hand this morning? I'm not going to drag out the altar call. Just not going to do it. I've preached the word. I've preached the message that God gave me for today. Now it's up to you.